Hi, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. You can reach us at www.traveladviceshow.com. And I'm Chris Newton, one of the co-hosts, and my other co-host, Jerry Fuller. How you doing, Jerry?
Fabulous. How are you doing, Chris?
Oh, doing really well. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to our topic today. We have a great guest. Would you like to introduce our guest, Jerry?
I would. Irma has been with us for a long time. Irma Turtle has been in the industry a very long time, and her specialty is West Africa. And because of, well, I'll let her tell, that she has started a company called Turtle Will, a very innovative, a very important concept, and doing a fabulous, important job for the cultures of West and parts of East Africa. Welcome, Irma. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Would you like to start out and tell us what Turtle Will is?
Well, sure. Turtle Will is a humanitarian organization. It's a nonprofit that I founded based upon all my travels in Africa and the rest of the world starting in 1985. Turtle Tours goes back to 1985, and the specialty of Turtle Tours was remote tribal peoples, and I would take people to visit and live with remote tribal peoples to understand better their customs and their traditions, their way of life. So as I kept going back to the same peoples, particularly in Niger, or Niger, Mali, and Ethiopia, I got to know the people, and they got to know me and trust me, and I began to understand, because they would either come to me directly or I observed that they had needs that they couldn't answer, needs that related to illness, needs that related to feeding their families, needs that related to maybe sending their kids to school and not having the money to do that. So as these were presented to me, I would take whatever money I had in my pocket and help them. And this started really fairly early on in the life of Turtle Tours. It wasn't something I ever really wanted to share with the people on the trips with me, because I didn't want them to feel that in addition to having this wonderful, very anthropologic experience of adventure travel, I didn't want them to feel that they had to participate in this humanitarian, quotes, goody-good kind of behavior.
Yeah.
And what I found was that sometimes one of the people on the trips would see me talking to a group of tribal people or one tribal person, and they would come over assuming that I was gathering more significant information about rituals and traditions, and they would say, "Oh, Irma, what are you learning now?" And I'd say, "Well, this time I'm learning that that's the schoolhouse and the roof is blown off and these are the teachers and they need help with replacing the roof," and we'd be looking at a pile of aluminum sheeting on the ground. Or I'd say, "This old man here, who probably was only 50 but looked like an old man, has a 2-year-old child who is so sick that he doesn't know what to do, and he can't afford to take this child to the hospital because he doesn't have any money and he's asking for help." And when that happened, invariably, the person would say to me, "Can I help? Can I pay for it?" And then I began to realize that the people traveling with me wanted to help too. So I began to put, I'm sorry, I choke up a lot.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
I just get very moved.
Yeah.
I get very moved by my own story.
That's great.
But
that's
great.
The people would
because
start
I've,
to.
Spent a lot of time in West Africa, probably up to 9 or 10 months of my life in West Africa. It's my favorite part in the world. And as a result, I know exactly what you mean. It's a life-changing area of the world, isn't it?
Well, it is, but, you know, I think any lesser developed country, when you get into it and know the people and learn about their plight, has the ability to provoke the same life-changing experiences. It's just that my turf was West Africa and Ethiopia.
Yeah.
So what happened was that as more and more people would start helping, I began putting a little column in the back of the Turtle Tours catalog saying Turtle Will Update. I gave it a name in 1997, Turtle Will, because the question was, who will help these people? And the answer was Turtle Will, Irma Turtle Will.
That's great.
People,
that's,
began,
that's...
people began sending in money.
Yeah.
And in 2001, we became a registered nonprofit, and a couple of years ago, I really had to make the decision. Turtle Will takes up 150% of my time, and so I had to make the decision to let go of Turtle Tours completely. So Turtle Tours doesn't exist any longer, and I would offer an apology to anybody who's listening who goes onto the Turtle Tours website and then writes in and says, I want to do a trip, and I say, gee, I'm sorry, I can't do that trip for you, but you might want to consider one of our volunteer programs, because it's kind of false advertising, but I do maintain the Turtle Tours website because it does lead people to us who might then become volunteers on one of our volunteer medical programs. So my apologies, audience, for misleading you, but it serves our purpose, and it does generate volunteers who become very helpful. The process of Turtle Will.
That's great. I think a lot of people out there are really, when they're traveling now, they really want to get more submersed into the culture and help out and volunteer. So that's a kind of, you see that's a growing trend now. A lot of people are wanting to do more than just sightsee now.
I think it's a huge growing trend. And
if you
look at the numbers of programs from Earthwatch to any variety, there's many different ways that people can go to another country and give back and help. What we do is we do volunteer medical programs. So I go in with doctors and nurses and medicines and volunteers over a two-week period. It's basically very similar to what might have been Turtle Tours expedition into Ethiopia to meet the tribal peoples, or the Turtle Tours nomadic festivals trip in Niger, or the Turtle Tours expedition in Mali, because we go back to the very same peoples we would have been visiting, but we stay there and we help. We set up our medical tent, we wait for the nomads to come, we stay there until everyone is treated. The volunteers provide a really important service. They don't have to be medically oriented at all, because they run the pharmacy. And if you can imagine, you've got 300 patients a day, each one has to be given his own particular combination of medicines. All that has to be prepared. The volunteers are really working their little fingers to the bone on the days that we have clinics, which could be 6 to 8 days out of a 14-day expedition. So, and I always include the cultural highlights of the country as well, because I want people to have an important anthropologic and cultural experience as well. So, for example, when we run the tour, the medical program into Mali, we get to visit the Dogon country and Jene and Mopti, as well as running 6 full days of clinic among nomadic peoples who would get no medical help otherwise. I should point that out too, that the Turtle Will mission, which will resonate, I'm sure, with a lot of the people who are listening, is our mission statement is to help these unique, amazing tribal peoples who are still the subject of National Geographic documentaries but get no help from their own governments for a variety of reasons, which I won't go into, a lot of it having to do with their just being so remote. Our mission statement is to help these people stay traditional, if that's what they want, if that's their choice. And so we really are working to preserve these cultures.
That's great.
None of us would want to find the Tuareg as nothing left of the Tuareg of Niger and Mali, except a diorama in the Smithsonian Museum or the Museum of Natural History. So that's really what we're all about, and we do it through medical help and economic development and education.
Wonderful. That's great.
I know your website is fascinating because you show so many pictures of different people helping and different tribes and just smiling. They really do appreciate what you're doing for them. And you want to, first of all, before you go further, do you want to give us the website for Turtle Will?
Sure.
How to contact you before we forget?
Absolutely. The website address is www.turtlewill.org.
And that's T-U-R-T-L-E-W-I-L-L.
Right, because it answers the question, who will help these people, Turtle Will?
Yeah.
So it's one word, Turtle Will. I can be emailed directly at Irma with an I, not an E, irmaturtle@turtlewill.org. We have an 800 number, which is 888-299-1439, or the local number, which is 480-488-3688.
Excellent.
And I'm happy to answer questions from anyone who might have them.
Great.
Let me ask this question, because I know in Travel Advice, a company that we have, a lot of people who go to Africa, and primarily to Central and West Africa, they have a question about medical, but can they drink the water, can they eat the food, do they get dysentery, is it medically safe to go to that part of the country of the world?
As long as people follow the normal precautions of travel anywhere in the rest of the world, of course you don't drink the water. You drink bottled water. That's a given anywhere. It's practically a given where I live, here in Deep Creek, Arizona. So, and you wouldn't eat salads or things that haven't been washed in any local restaurant unless you are on a tour that would take you to a restaurant that's used to receiving Westerners, because there the food would be washed. And the way that food is washed is with potassium permanganate, which is an antibacterial. So sure, people should absolutely be careful. They should not drink the water. They should watch what they eat. They should make sure that they have medicines in case they get sick with them. And so, yeah, it's very wise to be careful. If you're traveling in a country that is a malarial zone, then absolutely one should take malaria prevention, known as malaria prophylaxis. There's a host of shots that if one goes even on the CDC, the Center for Disease Control website, one would find the recommended shots. And it's simply wise. But do people, if one of the things I've noticed over the years, for example, with all my travels with groups, was that one of the most important things was that if you wash your hands very carefully before you eat, it makes an enormous difference. Because throughout the day, if you're a traveler who likes to meet people, and if you're a traveler who's walking down the street, especially in a place like West Africa where the people are remarkably friendly, you will have 100 little kids coming up to hold your hand. You will have people stopping and wanting to shake your hand, or if they don't want to shake your hand but they want to say hello, you may want to shake their hand as your offer of your friendship. And so constantly during the day, you're touching things that might have some kind of dirt on them. The same way you would treat sitting down to a meal here, you would wash your hands because who knows what you've been doing all day. One of the things that I've noticed really makes a remarkable difference is if you wash your hands regularly, especially before you eat. And those antibacterial gels that are on the market now, those are perfect to carry. Absolutely perfect, because you can be swooped up into a gathering of people on the street who just want to celebrate your arrival and be happy that you're there, and you can share pictures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then all you need to do is take out your antibacterial gel, and that really makes a remarkable difference. But if one has the idea that all one has to do is step on a plane and one will breathe in a host of diseases, this is completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is not like that.
Oh, I know it. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned all that, because I agree with you 1,000%. I wanted to ask another important thing. I know that when they go on one of your trips, can you talk about if there is such a thing, a typical trip, and about how many people will go, and about the possibility of maybe tax deducting the trip, etc.? Can you cover that?
Sure. A Turtle Will volunteer program is usually 2 weeks long. And within those 2 weeks, and that's in country, so let's say arriving in country on a Monday, flying out of the country on a Monday night, arriving back in Europe early the next morning, typically 2 weeks long. Of those 2 weeks, 6 to 7 days will usually be spent working in the clinics. The rest will be travel time or visiting time. For example, I'm taking a group of volunteers in November to Mali to do our medical work, and we will start out by going to Mopti, visiting Mopti, spending a day and a night in the Dogon country, so that people get to see the glorious Dogon country, which is really mind-boggling. We will have a day in Timbuktu and an overnight in Timbuktu, and we will have a day in Janae, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. None of those stops have anything to do with our medical work. They have everything to do with making sure that the volunteers get to see and appreciate and be awed by the wonders of the country of Mali. So that's how a program would unfold. Those are maybe 3 days out of the full 14 days, and they're en route, so they're not really taking us out of our way. Typically, a Turtle Will program is totally tax deductible, the money that's paid to Turtle Will, which is $4,750 for the 2-week program, which includes everything except any kind of airfares. That's totally tax deductible according to our accountant, because you're really not getting anything in return, like a fancy overnight in a hotel, or you're really working. And when you're not working, you're getting there to where you're going to be working in the next few days. And according to our accountant, even your airfare is tax deductible because you're en route to doing something that's purely humanitarian.
Okay, all right.
And about how many do you take on a tour? Is there a maximum number or an average?
Typically, I need at least 6 volunteers to run the program, because around four of the volunteers are preparing all the medicines, and then 2 or 3 other volunteers are filling the doctor's prescriptions. So I really, and there's an enormous cost to running one of these programs. For anybody who's listening, they may have remembered that a typical Turtle Tours expedition to Mali or Niger was around $3,800, $3,900, and that was with a full group of people. These programs are run at cost, but we have the same services, the same four-wheel drive vehicles. We have, but we need more four-wheel drive vehicles because we're also carrying a huge supply of medicines to treat 2,000 to 3,000 people. Plus, we're carrying a big medical tent. Plus, we're carrying doctors as well. So, a smaller group of people, like 6 to 8 volunteers, are paying the full cost. They're called volunteer-funded medical programs because the idea is that the total cost of that 2-week volunteer program is funded by the volunteers who go. So the cost is $4,750. I really need a minimum of 6 volunteers to make it work, although I've done it with 5. And I'm happy to take 8, sometimes even 9, because I like to have extra volunteers so that if, let's say, Jerry, you're in the tent working and you see a great-looking group of men out there with their spears and you want to leave the tent and go chat or communicate or just visit with the men, I want everybody to have that freedom so that they don't feel that they're stuck in the tent from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. and can't actually get to visit or get to know the tribal peoples when they feel like it. So I'm happy to take extra volunteers because that gives everybody the freedom to leave the tent and not leave all the medicine compiling in the lurch.
Right.
Fabulous.
Yeah, that's great.
I wanted to ask you one question about your website. There was a mention under a picture about a straw school in Niger.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what a straw school is?
Sure.
I never heard of a straw school.
Well, it's made out of straw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Straw. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, I thought for those, but I thought maybe this is where they made straw or something.
No. But
it's
an interesting point because I would never go to someone and tell them they need to educate their children. You know, 25 years ago, education among nomadic peoples wasn't necessarily so necessary because there was pasturage and water for everybody and space for everybody. These days, with the encroachment of civilization and the land drying out, people need to be educated so that they can articulate their rights, like, this is my land. You know, they've got clinics, we want clinics, et cetera. So I never go to a chief and say, you need to educate your kids. But when the chiefs come to me, which has happened to the extent that we are now helping 23 primary schools for nomadic children, when they come to me, then I do what I can to help them with education, which usually is building the dormitories for the already existing schools. The point about the straw school is really significant, and because The straw school was built by that little community at Emazalag in Niger. It's a Tuareg community. They, the chiefs and the elders, wanted their kids to get an education. The government didn't respond right away, and in fact, it took 3 years I think Amazalek now actually has a school made out of concrete blocks, which the government took 3 years to build. But initially, when a group of a nomadic community or a sedentary community decides it wants its kids to go to school, it has to go to the government, get permission, get an authorization. They have to bring the names of all the children and all the parents who have agreed that the children will go to school. If the government doesn't step in immediately and poof, up goes a block school, which is kind of pie in the sky, then the community itself builds a little shelter out of straw. And the point about those straw schools is twofold. One is that it shows the initiative of on the part of the community, the understanding that not to change their ways, but to catch up and protect themselves from the ways of others, that education is really important. The other point about the straw school is that straw schools are really dangerous because they harbor things like scorpions and snakes and perhaps other poisonous or venomous insects. So nobody wants their, and also, as we all know, little kids can play with matches and they can catch on fire. So they're dangerous. They're just basically dangerous. But they can very well be the first initiative in a community getting started on educating its children. And then the next step, sometimes we've stepped in and we've built schools out of clay brick. We ask the tribal peoples to make the bricks, and then we bring in the masons and the rebar and cement the outside and the inside. We help that way. But that's what a straw school is. Long answer to a short question.
Interesting. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, great.
Well, yeah, Herman, you're doing a marvelous job, and we do congratulate you.
Yes.
Well,
yeah,
thank you.
That's great. Yeah, I'm going to spread the word, and all our listeners, I mean, this will be a great program for them to volunteer and to learn more about the in Africa there, and this is great.
Well, if I could say one more
thing.
A new friend came over the other day, having looked at the Turtle Will website, and he walked in and he said, "Oh my God, Irma, with all that you've done, you must be 130 years old."
Yeah, I know. You have a.
And clearly, I'm not 130 years old. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
The point is that it is so easy to make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, when that woman came over years ago and said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "The school roof is blown off." It was $125. It was a huge amount to the tribal peoples, but it was nothing to her. It cost so little to make a huge difference in the lives of people, whether it's with education or funding a wheelchair or some meals for kids or uniforms for kids or even paying for medicines. It really costs so little. So I would request that to anybody who's listening that they really let their minds expand a little bit about not just traveling, but about not even necessarily traveling with me in one of my volunteer programs, but when someone stops you in the street or someone comes up to you and asks you for aid on one of your trips, stop and listen, because you could make an enormous difference with just a small amount of money.
Yeah.
Phenomenal advice.
Yeah. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Again, would you give us your website and how to contact?
Sure. It's www.turtlewill.org. Turtle Will is turtle, like the animal, reptile. Will, W-I-L-L, who will help these people, Turtle Will. Turtlewill.org. And then I can be reached at irmturtle@turtlewill.org by email.
Okay.
And it's Irma with an I. Or through an 800 number, which is 888-299-1439. Or locally, well, one more phone number, locally, 480-488-3688.
All right.
Well, thank you again very, very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Well, it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure, and I appreciate your support, and I appreciate the support of anybody who's listening.
Yeah.
Either through me or through just your own efforts.